Hi everyone. I hope you are safe in this lockdown season. I just want to explain some of my journey, I can say, in order to pick a right algorithm. So majority of the time when people are preparing for data science interviews or etc., so when any interviewer asks, hey, how you are choosing a right algorithm, they say we use decision trees, we use a random forest, we use this algorithm. But they are unable to be very clear about how they pick an algorithm in real time. So I just want to walk you through those parameters. For example, if I want to choose a right algorithm, how I will be picking it up. So let me create a problem statement. Every time in order to choose a right algorithm, always choosing a right algorithm is linked up with a problem statement. So the problem statement here is, I want to identify whether a drug can be approved or a drug may not get approved, means it is getting rejected. So in a clinical trials process, so we try to pick different clinical features in order for, or we can say drug features, in order to get it approved. So we will be going with each and every drug. For each and every drug, there will be plenty of features for each and every drug. So based on these features, what are the chances of a drug getting approved and what are the chances of getting a drug rejected? So I want to make the statement. So if I'm sitting on the shoes of the clinical trials industry, so they invest a lot of money in clinical trials. So if they are able to predict whether a drug can be approved or rejected before they are spending time on that particular drug manufacturing, so they are able to save a lot of money. So the first point is, they can save money, they can save time. So whatever the statement your algorithm is making it, like whether the drug can be approved or rejected, need to be more robust and it need to be more reliable. So we can't get misclassification. So when a drug is about to reject, our algorithm should not say a drug can be approved. So when a drug is about to get approved, our algorithm should not say it may get rejected. So this kind of misclassifications are pretty dangerous in lines of clinical trial. Why? In the sense, they are investing a lot of money, and if they are looking into this sort of wrong statements, again it's going to be a huge impact for whatever the algorithm we are building. So for that reason, when we are looking into the drug features, even all the features may not be in a linear manner, or they may not be outlier free. There may be some outliers, we may be getting some uneven values as well. So our algorithm need to handle all these parameters, and it need to provide us the right predictions. Means it need to be robust, it need to be stable, it need to be confident. So I want to build an algorithm in such a way. So for that reason, I'm looking into logistic. So it's purely a transformation for a linear regression algorithm. So your logistic is not a robust algorithm. So we are knocking the door of decision tree. So why we are picking decision tree algorithm is, for example, if I say decision tree, one of the best algorithms, so I'm picking, if you say like this in an interviewer, he gonna ask why decision tree is best. So every time, majority of the people who are answering the questions, every time this answer gonna give rise to a new question from the interviewer side. It should not be like that. So when you're saying I'm picking a decision tree, you need to come up with a mathematical statement. So I'm picking a decision tree algorithm. The major reason why I'm picking is, we choose whether the node going to be a leaf, or we can say the edge going to be leaf or a node, is decided based on entropy or based on Gini. And we choose a root node based on the information gain value. And why we are going with a decision tree, it's a non-parametric model, whereas logistic is a parametric. Logistic is built on top of certain assumptions, whereas decision tree is built, no matter, there is no assumptions in a decision tree algorithm. And we are building a tree model, but there is one problem with decision tree, it may get overfitted. So when we are pushing this model of a drug approval or a fail rejection to a real-time environment, it may cause, if it is overfitted, it may not give a proper results in a real-time production environment. So I want an algorithm which need to be robust. I want a robust, it need to be more stable, and it should not be overfitted. So to handle the overfitting problem, we have one of the algorithm, which is an additional technique for a decision tree, which is nothing but, we call it as random forest. So random forest algorithm maintains a parallel processing. It's one of the technique of bagging. And whatever the accuracies we are getting from random forest are more stable and more precise when compared to your decision tree algorithm. So we may pick random forest. But the accuracy is not exactly what client is expecting. Client is expecting an accuracy to accept the model from 90% to 95%. But our model is able to give from 85% to 87%. So this is not something suitable. So we tried with gradient boosting. Why? In the sense, gradient boosting, there are chances of improving in accuracy. And before submitting the things to the client, so we tried with the cross validation. Why? In the sense, direct accuracy score gonna give us only on a one sample. So I want to know on different samples. So I looked on to cross validation accuracy. I got an accuracy around 88% with a standard deviation of 0.02. So the accuracy may fluctuate around 84 to up to 86 or something like that. In this way, it is fluctuating. So the fluctuations are okay, but the client is expecting 90 plus accuracy. So what we are doing is, again, we gone through the reference. Again, the client said we want a maximum separation between the drug approved and drug rejected. So again, we tried with support vector. So we are able to give an accuracy, means like the estimated accuracy, we can say around 89% accuracy. So, but the client said, hey, this is a real-time process. So again, I want more confidence. So what we done is, we pushed this model of SVM, we serialized it, and we pushed it into a intermediate production environment. And whatever the data of a clinical trials, we are, the another half of it, we are pushing into our model. So our model is scoring the results, and the quality people are looking into scored results from our SVM model. So they monitored it for a couple of months. So if it is getting a better accuracy, we make it as a real-time process. In case whatever the accuracy we are expecting, if we are unable to get it, so we try to add some human process with ML process. Why? In the sense, every time in a real time, we can't make everything 100% ML. So it takes time to make it everything 100% ML. So we are using some of the human process plus this particular ML process, and we will be pushing into a real-time production. So while we are pushing into real-time, we got some time. So meanwhile, we try for continuous improvement. We may check for new algorithms if any deep learning gonna give us any route or any hope for us. And meanwhile, neural networks we have, feed forwards we have, and we try all these zones. In case if there is a possibility, yes, again, we change that serialized model with our neural network. So this is how I choose a real-time. In real-time, this is how I choose an algorithm. So when you are explaining the things to an interviewer, so try to maintain the same rapport. So majority of the time I see people fail in interview, not because of the lack of skill, but because of the lack of explanation. Majority of the people fail in explaining the things in a proper way. So try to master that, and you need to reflect like a real-time data scientist how you work in a real-time project. It should not sound like a learner. So try to maintain this. It's gonna help you to crack a job on as a data scientist. Thank you so much.